Hello, my friends. Everybody doing okay? Good week? Wow, it's been a busy week for me. Last night, we hosted our first service in Park City. Yeah, and it was wonderful. And it was incredible. Here's a photo of our meeting. A couple more people showed up than we expected, to be honest. And we're grateful. I want to thank those of you who drove up to support on the first service. And I want to thank those of you who volunteered to serve. Oh, my goodness, we couldn't have done this without you. Frankly, really, there were a lot more people than we expected, and it was a delight to see so many of you from our capital community, not just a part of Park City, and there's probably no one from Park City in the room here because you probably were there last night, but so many of you from Salt Lake drove up there to serve, and as we get this fourth weekend service up and running, and I'm telling you, we could not have done this without you. Some of you who were not even, you were there just to support and you weren't on the schedule to serve, you dove in. We had folks dive, some of our kids ministry workers diving into kids ministry because, wow, did we have a lot more kids than we expected. Grabbing chairs, figuring it out. You guys are a gift, a gift, a gift. And I thank God that I get to do this with you. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I'll tell you this, if any of you are interested in serving, especially over the next month, you know, as we get acquainted with new people and invite new people into our community, and as friends of Park City people are coming and checking it out and wondering, is this a church home for me? We do need some help with other volunteer opportunities. If you are interested over the next few weeks in particular, helping us in Park City, whether it's kids ministry or our connection teams, and there are many different ways you can serve, please pop us an email, info@capitalchurch.com. We'd love to know that you want to serve, and we'll get you plugged in, okay? Thank you, thank you, thank you again. And really, thank you for your prayers. Truly, truly miraculous what God did. And so we're thankful that we get to be a part of it. Well, this weekend, we continue our series in which we're looking at Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is a beautiful, breathtaking psalm that means more to me than you'll ever know. As a human and as a disciple of Jesus, I have spent a long, long time, many, 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 many hours reflecting on this particular psalm. And so each week we're unpacking this psalm line by line. And this weekend, I've invited my friend and colleague Tara to share from Psalm 23, verses 2 and 3. And so before she comes, I want to pray. And before I pray, I'd like to read Psalm 23 in its entirety. Verse 1 begins, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his namesake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Before Tara comes, let's ask the Lord to speak to us. Will you bow your heads with me? Father, in this moment, first we pause and celebrate as a community what happened in Park City last night. Thank you. We pray that you would use our fourth service at Kimball Junction to reach people and show them what it means to follow you. Learn from you how to live life, loving God and loving others. And today, I pray the same happens in this room. Give us the faith to open our hearts to you as you speak. I pray this for everyone in the room, even people who aren't really sure about faith, aren't really sure about you. May their eyes be opened to the possibility of a loving God who longs to have relationship with them. I pray this today in the name of King Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Hi, guys. Hi. I'm back. Okay, here we go. 13 years ago, I moved quite unexpectedly to Salt Lake City. I was unacquainted with the landscape. I drove across the country for this new job, didn't know exactly what to expect, so it took me by surprise that when I got to Salt Lake City, there was not a lot of visible water, except, of course, in the form of snow. There weren't bidding wars and waterfront condos on the shores of the Great Salt Lake where, you know, they were serving up salty, smelly shrimp tableside. No, that was not happening. I loved it here pretty quickly, but I missed the water. Water was a big part of my life growing up. My dad is just this lifelong boater. We spent as much of the summers as we could on Cape Cod in Hyannisport, to be exact, and we spent as much time of that time in Cape Cod as we could on the water. I remember the particularly challenging experience of learning to water ski on the ocean. Yeah, that got dug up by my amazing Aunt Renee. So, for you, there we are, there we are. I'm glad it was a little more of a close-up picture. As I have told you before, I am a bit of a stalker. It's one of my spiritual gifts. And I come from a family of stalkers, so I learned from the best. So we would motor on over when we were in this boat, where we could see the Kennedy compound. Like, yes, those Kennedys in Hyannisport. I can remember water skiing by, craning my neck, and thinking, oh, maybe I'll just catch a glimpse of those perfectly coiffed little Kennedys frolicking around, which we never did see. What happened, though, multiple times a day, of course, is that I lost the battle with the choppy waves, and I experienced that special sensation that my brother and sister and I refer back to as the water enema. So, you're welcome! When I was a bit older, we moved our boating experience from the wild ocean waves of Cape Cod to Lake Winnipesaukee, some of you might be familiar with, in New Hampshire. My favorite time of day to be on that boat was dusk, when most of the boats, they were docked for the night, and the lake was kind of calm, and sometimes my dad would say, come on, let's go on the boat, and he'd put the hammer down, and, you know, we'd fly in through the waves, and, you know, your jowls are flapping, and, but this big, you know, the boat is just gliding through and going so fast, and it just still somehow felt peaceful. I'm fortunate that my husband, Greg, loves the water, too. A couple years ago, we were at Henry's Lake near Yellowstone National Park, and again, it was dusk, and Greg and I were wrapped in these blankets, sitting on a porch overlooking the lake. And it was one of those, it was like glass. It was just that impossible sheet of still water. And it was so quiet, you know, when it's so quiet, you can actually hear. And I could hear the owl. I saw an owl, matter of fact. I could hear all kinds of birds. I could hear these big and these small animals. They were rustling around. I could hear them rustling the trees and rustling on the ground around me. Oddly, as if the fish, like underneath the water, came and had this big meeting, they decided to jump. Just kind of quietly, just like plop, all at once. Let's go, guys. And then a miracle happened. I heard something odd. I looked over, and my husband had fallen asleep, which never, I'm telling you, never, ever happens. Remember last week when Rob was talking about how the sheep need those like pristine, perfect conditions to fall asleep? That's my Greg. He's my high-maintenance little lamb. Yeah, that's really true. So this is where we enter the psalm with this image, not of Greg, but of the water. This quiet water where we can actually hear. And we read our text from Psalm 23, 2, verses 2b and 3a. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. The Hebrew word that David uses for soul is nefesh. It's defined as the self, the seat of emotion and desire, the substance of our being. As a culture, we're kind of intrigued by this word soul. I mean, if Oprah has a show on it, we know it's got to be big. Oprah often explores the topic of spirituality. She takes millions of listeners and viewers and readers along for the ride. So a few years ago, she launched this show called Super Soul Sunday. This popular show is an inspirational series that features programs that nourish the mind, body, and spirit while offering insights into living one's best life. Big names from a variety of faiths and philosophies discuss a variety of subjects. How to be happy. What happens when you die? Dealing with loss. And a lot of people are tuning in to Oprah's church on Super Soul Sunday. So what is it about the soul that so captivates us? We use it to describe the indescribable. We use it to capture the intangible, to talk about something at a whole nother level. When we're dating someone, if it's going well, we start to wonder, is that our soulmate? When we need a word beyond a word to describe that friend, like that friend, we say, that's my soul sister. When we hear a song that moves us in a deep way, we say, that's got some soul. When we need a lift back to life, our culture sells us chicken soup for the soul. Your soul is your center. It's the core of your being. Your soul integrates your will and your thoughts and your feelings. It's like your me, your whole me. And therefore, our soul is something that needs to be in good working order for us to experience wholeness. And I think wholeness is why people are tuning into Super Soul Sunday. It's that grandparent who's wondering about her purpose in life. The business executive who wants to be inspired beyond tasks and meetings. The student who wants to make his life count. They all want to live life to the full at that whole nother level. And when they finish that show, they hope that somehow through it they'll be changed. They'll be better. In the Bible, the soul can be sad, grieved, it can weep, rejoice. The soul can bless the Lord. The soul can be distressed. The soul can be anxious and troubled. It can hate and it can love. Throughout the Psalms, David pleads for his soul. He pours out his soul and he speaks to his soul. And he refers to it again in Psalm 23. But let's just remember now first what we've studied so far in the series. In verse 1, it was, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." Troy taught us that week that he gives us everything we need to do everything he wants us to do. Last week, Rob taught us verse 2, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." We learned, while we can't always change the speed of life around us, we can always change the speed of life inside of us. And now our shepherd leads us beside those quiet waters, where the water's like glass, where my owl is hooing, where my husband is snoozing. And we, like David, bring our souls to the shore, where we crave to be refreshed. And today I want to encourage you to let God reset your soul. The Hebrew verb for refresh that David uses is shuv. The word literally means turn, or in this case, return. I've been using the word refreshed, which is taken from the New International Version of the Scriptures, but you might recall the traditional translation, which is actually behind me, "He restores my soul." That's what it means, to restore or bring back. Is there any part of your soul that might need a reset? Does dread keep you awake at night? Are you growing impatient with your impatience? Are you tired of your insecurity tagging along with you to every party, to every meeting? Are you sick of sinning the same sins you've been sinning for the last 10 years? Maybe it's time to let God reset your soul. In an earlier message this year, Troy talked about that word shuv, and he used the analogy of resetting your phone, restoring it to the manufacturer's default settings. When my phone starts to act up, my first reaction is to just dismiss it, you know, say, there's nothing wrong. My husband, Greg, who plays a large role in my message today, apparently, offers his gentle feedback. And he says, Tara, perhaps we should discuss the fact that your phone is constantly dropping calls and is randomly shutting down. And I'm like, you know, it's fine. It's fine. I'm good. I can manage. It's no big deal. Greg can't hear me say these things because my phone, of course, is dropping the call at the same time. But the truth is, I don't have time to deal with that. I don't have time to troubleshoot. I am not ever going to the Verizon store. I have way too many phone calls to return, and I am afraid if I hit that reset button, I'm going to lose the voicemails I've been saving for 5 years. But eventually, I am faced with the decision of whether or not to surrender. Open up my phone settings and to press restore. So my phone will reset and return to the way that the manufacturer intended it, removing all the junk that's hindering my phone from working properly and leaving everything I really need. And this is what God is offering David. This is what God is offering us, to lead us to quiet waters where he might restore our souls. And we need that, like a sheep needs water. God is not reluctant. He is a good shepherd who will lead us to the waters of restoration if we let him. But a lot of us won't let him. We're afraid it's going to take too much time or cost too much energy, or we're just going to end up feeling unsatisfied. So we kind of fill our souls, that hole in there, with anything we can squeeze in for pleasure and profit and popularity, as if any of those things are really going to fulfill the real longings of our hearts. I think that some of us are growing weary, that some of us do thirst for a different way to live. And if that's you, then I think Isaiah 55 might have something to say to you. Verse 1 reads, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money. Come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen, so that your soul may live." The word of the Lord is urgent in Isaiah. He says to the listener, come. Notice how determined he is with that 6 times. He repeats his summons again and again, not to just a few, but to every man or woman who's thirsty. I love in this piece the juxtaposition of buying something without money. The Lord has something that we desperately need, but that we could never afford. The price is high, but it's not ours to pay. But apparently, poverty is not a barrier to eating well with God. Ironically, we waste our resources on things we think are going to quench our thirst. We expend all of our energy chasing desires and these diversions to satisfy our souls, but they just end up making things worse. And we left feeling spiritually and emotionally impoverished as we search for the next best thing that we hope will bring us to happiness. In this passage in Isaiah, the Lord is pleading with people who have grown comfortable with material possessions. He encourages them, stop putting your hope in that, and to search for a greater spiritual satisfaction. Back then, you know, 8th century BC, whatever it was, they were easily distracted by their stuff. Back then, they looked to luxury for fulfillment. Back then, they were tempted by sparkly things that seemed to offer satisfaction and security. Aren't you glad things are so different today? All those centuries later, we're such an improved society. That was then, and that is still now. I don't care how much stuff that we have or how in control we think we are. It says, come. Verse 2 says, listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. So once we come to that water, he tells us to listen. And listen in this biblical context is to understand, and it's to obey. If you listen to the Lord, your soul will dine on the finest of foods. This is how he restores our soul. Verse 6 goes on to say, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them and to our God, for he will freely pardon. The Lord is ready to be found. Anne Voskamp says it well. She says everything well. When she writes, you can't earn God's love. You can only turn toward God's love. When we turn to him, as our verse said, he comforts, he delivers, he shows mercy, he forgives. That's where we let God reset your soul. As we seek and listen, we tend to approach it as, hey, God, here we are, ready to listen. Anything new, change in that Bible? I had a couple, maybe thoughts on some improvements in a couple of areas I would improve. We're there. Here we are. I'm ready. I'm ready to be enlightened. Of course we do. Most of us would love to hear the voice of God. We'd love for God to coach us on how we should invest our money, on how we should leverage our time and our efforts for more success. We'd love for God to tell us how to make a better tomorrow. But are we willing to hear what God has to say about today and how we're living today? How do we learn to listen to that? There is a spiritual discipline, and it's called the prayer of examen. Something that I have returned to over the years, and I'm excited to share it with those of you that maybe haven't heard of it before. Engaging in disciplines is important because they shape us as a people of God. The word shape is important because we can think, this is just how I am. Like, this is just how I'm always going to be. This is just it. This is how I am. But that is not true. In our relationship with God, we are in a process of blessed transformation, not just receiving information as we read his word, but experiencing transformation that comes from listening and engaging and obeying. The examen was created by Saint Ignatius. He's a handsome bloke, a Spanish soldier who lived in the 16th century. He was this fierce warrior, and he had nothing to do with God. And when he was 30 years old, he was wounded by a cannonball. Both of his legs were injured, and he had this extended time in bed, and he could not move, and he was out of the action and depressed and in despair and contemplating suicide. And he read a book about the life of Christ that changed his life. He funneled everything that he was learning and experiencing into the creation of this prayer of examen, which he diligently practiced twice a day. This prayer is a way that we can review our day. There's four steps. The first step is preparation. This is when we take a breath. We clear out the distractions that are fighting for attention in our brains. We remember we're not alone. We're not flailing about. We are loved, and we remind ourselves of God's presence. This step for me really is, my brain, it's very busy in my brain. There are a lot of people and a lot of priorities and a lot of thoughts and a lot of feelings that are competing for attention in there. This preparation part is for me to just kind of show them the door. And I do that with a verse like Joshua 1:9. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord God will be with you wherever you go. The second step is invitation. We invite God into the conversation. Yes, this conversation. We seek the Lord while he may be found. We invite him into those spaces in our soul. We call on him when he's near, and we believe that he is going to pick the phone up. At this point, I literally pray this part of Psalm 139 and ask myself some questions. It's, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me, know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And to say this because I don't always want or know how to tell myself the truth. I don't always like it when God is going to get all up in my business. I want to be vulnerable, but I want to do it on my own terms. I think sometimes we're scared to let God get up and close. God's great at church. I'll go to church. God and I will do our thing there. But I don't want him to follow me home, right into my stuff. But he does, because God's the real stalker. My hero. So we prepare, and we invite, and then we have to do this hard part. And this is investigation. Don't freak out. This next step is to think. Not just think, but reflect. If I think back to that sheet of water on Henry's Lake, that still perfect glass sheet of water, if I'd leaned over and I had looked into that, you know what I'd see? I'd see me. I'd see my own reflection. And that's the kind of quiet water I imagine David was at when he was letting God reset his soul. What does your reflection look like? Proverbs 27:19 says, as water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart. This investigation is about what's going on in the heart. And to do that, we have to remember and we have to think. We think all day long. We juggle, we problem solve, we balance things at work. My favorite kind of work, though, is busy work. When I don't even have to think. My favorite kind of emails are the ones where I can say yes, no, delete. Just pick off those ones I can knock out. Oh my gosh, the one where I have to think about how I'm going to respond, there's just not time. And I'm also very good at distracting myself so I don't have to think about what's going on. I don't want to process because I might feel bad. I might realize something I did or didn't do. I might realize something I said, something I definitely should not have said. I might realize somebody that hurt me. I might realize that I hurt somebody. I'd rather just say, I'm good. I'm good. Everything's good. Nope, I'm good. Yay. But not processing prevents us from being able to hear. It prevents us from not being able to see. It prevents us being able to feel where the little cracks in our soul need to be healed. So we investigate, go a little CSI on ourselves, you know, find that evidence and take a few minutes. Maybe it's a, you know, few seconds to stop and to look and to listen and to let God reset your soul. When we review our day under the care and the connection of that shepherd, we notice. We give thanks for the gifts that are given to us, the gifts we often overlook, that those small kindnesses I didn't even see, the things that we got wrong, and the things that we got right. When did we find peace in spite of pressure? When did we find patience in spite of people? And if we snap those pieces together with God, do we see patterns emerging in our thoughts, in our behavior, in our actual words? How did God show up? Because he did. For me, it's helpful to literally walk through the day. Sometimes it's hard to even remember what I did 5 minutes ago. But if I give myself a minute to really think, where was I? What did I do? Who did I see? An investigation doesn't always mean, you see, flashing signs and wonders, revealing the key that will unlock your future happiness. Sometimes it's just these small whispers and snaps, but they're still very important. For example, as I have regularly practiced this, it's going to be a little moment of disclosure, I've realized that I have a promise-keeping problem. I am really good at saying, I'll call you back. Oh yeah, we'll do that, we'll get together. I'm really good at telling my son I'll kick the soccer ball with him after school, or I'll read him that book at night. I'm really good at RSVPing, yes. I'm really good at being a no-show. A great example of this is right now. Troy asked me if I would speak this weekend so he could, you know, focus on the launch of Park City. And weeks ago, I said, yes. Until almost exactly 1 week later, I said no after I said yes. I had a little time to think about it, and I said, no. I know, that I can't do that. Nope, sorry. And then I'm in California participating in a group discussion in one of my seminary classes. And we're talking about promise keeping, really. As part of my presentation to the class, I'll make a little presentation each of us did about how God was working in our lives. I have this whole thing written out, and I close it. And I pick up the phone in front of everyone. It was, you know, they all thought I was. And I call Troy. And I put him on speaker. And I say, I'm going to keep the promise because I said I would. And here we are. The consequences of this promise-keeping problem that I've had have really been messing with my soul. investigation, finding these kinds of things out about ourselves with God. It's an opportunity to let Him, let His Spirit shine a light in there. And the final step, we've made it, number four, is reconciliation. Acknowledging before God the drop balls. When we pass judgment without understanding first, when we pass the buck, when in our exhaustion we just blew up at our spouse, at our kids, at our boss, at all of them. And to reconcile, we confess and repent to a loving and a giving God who is for us, not against us. Confession is good for the soul. Remember that God offers forgiveness and mercy and that He freely pardons. So with God, we prepare and we invite and we investigate and we reconcile. And this is the power of the prayer of examen. Just to conclude, I knew that this was going to be one of those, I don't know how I'm going to do everything I need to do week kind of weeks. You might have had those before. I don't know. I feel like I have those every single week. We're all pretty familiar with that. And at some point, as I expected, it just all came to a head. I got home late one night, and the school project that I had left for my son to complete hadn't quite been done the way I imagined. I had those expectations of what that was going to be. It was the second time we'd redone the project. Walked in the door and thought, and in that moment, I'm just going to say that my husband and I did not communicate particularly well. We didn't communicate particularly well that night. Didn't communicate particularly well the next morning, the next day. And I just didn't take the time to process. I just didn't take the time to reflect. I'm good. And a couple days later, I'm frantically trying to write this message, and I am feeling stuck on so many levels. My soul is just super sticky. And I'm sitting there, and I realize, I'm so glad I'm speaking in 48 hours on having a healthy soul. Really, like, I'm sitting in this chair in my counter, and I crack. Just crack. You know, super soul, sticky soul is just flying all over the place, flying everywhere. And in that moment, I hear the beep, 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 whatever that, you know, your phone makes when you get a text. And it's a text from my friend in New York City who kind of knew some things that were going on this week. I mean, in that moment. And it says, I think it's intentional that you don't have the time that you want to prepare for this. You don't have to be perfect. Let people hear from your heart and from your life. She said, God doesn't ask us to be capable. He just asks us to be willing. And I realized, this is exactly what we're talking about. I don't have to live like this anymore. And neither do you. If we can let God reset our souls. And I can assure you that tomorrow, I'm going to have one of those. You guys know what this is like. You know, you're 37 seconds into your day and you're like, "Ooh, I need a do-over already." But I hope, I believe that I can take a minute somehow to reflect, to invite God to investigate, to remember that God is with me wherever I go. And that restoration, even in that, is possible. This entire psalm is about provision. Each of these verses, they show us, even a few words, that when we come to Him, these particular words, when we come to Him and we listen to Him, that He provides us with a chance to turn, with a chance to heal. So that as the water reflects our face, our life can better reflect God's heart. Would you pray with me? You know, I'm thinking about the song that we sang in the beginning of the service today. It was, He picked me up and He turned me around and He set my feet on solid ground. And that's what we pray, God. We believe, we know. Lord, would You lead us to those quiet waters today? Would you refresh our souls? Would you turn us around? Would you set our feet on solid ground? We thank you for your word. How it speaks to us. We thank you for the transformation that's possible through it, through our relationship with you. We say that in the name of Jesus. Amen. At Capitol, we have this little homework that we do at the end of the services. For those of you that are new, I know that seems a little weird, but it's kind of like a little school homework. And so what I have that I just would like to offer is that prayer of examen. I know it seems kind of dense, like four steps. What step am I on? But it really is worth it. For me, it has been worth it. It's been worth it in my marriage. It has been worth it in my parenting, in all of my relationships, my relationship with God. It's a very useful discipline. And so we have copies of that at the back at Guest Central. We'll also have it at bulletin.capitalchurch.com, a printable version that you can download if you'd like to use it. And hope that if you do it, that it just blesses you. Also, Psalm 139, I have to put up there, 23 and 24. I really think this is one to memorize. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Lead me in the... Search me, O God. Let's see, right? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. I'm encouraging you to memorize it, so it'd be a good idea if I did here, right? I like to pull that one out when I'm just feeling icky, you know, like ugly, you know. Search me, O God, know my heart. There's no better way, I feel like, than God's words. She can turn into these beautiful prayers to help us tell ourselves the truth. The graphic also will be online, Let God Reset Your Soul. You'll be able to find that online on our Facebook page as well as on Instagram. Thank you for listening.
Please stand. Aren't you glad Tara kept her promise? I am too. Thank you, my friend. If you'd like to receive prayer, there will be some folks waiting here at the front ready to pray for you. So make your way up. If you'd like for someone to pray for whatever need you have, do so before you leave. My prayer for all of you is simple. May you allow the Lord to lead you to the quiet waters of reflection so he might reset your soul. Thanks for being here today. Grace and peace.